pleasure, it's a privilege to present our speaker for this morning. We are grateful to the Lord for his ministry. We're going to ask that you receive, amen, Pastor Riley, as the Lord will lead him.
Amen.
Amen.
Every child of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God is truly good. He's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to going down to the same. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I think I can get a few of y'all to say that God is good.
Good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
All the time.
God is good. On this great. Amen. On this wonderful men's day. Let's thank God for our men of friendship. Lord, they've just been singing out their soul salvation this morning. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Gracious eternal Father, we thank you right now for these next few fleeting moments. We thank you for your never dying love, how you made a way out of no way. How you woke us up this morning, you enclosed us in our right frame of mind, and then you touched us with a tender touch, saying, all power is still in your hands. So that, Lord, we're so thankful. We pray right now, Lord, that I may decrease, that you may increase, that you may show up and show out, that when someone leaves here today, they can say, truly, they've been touched by the hands of God. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, that the pure in heart say amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Those who have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. We'll read the 28th and the 29th verse. It's the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28 and 29.
Thank you.
When you have it, somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say wait for me. Amen. We all got it. Let's read together. Ready, set, read.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God.
Amen.
Let go and let God.
Amen.
Just for a few moments this morning, let go and let God. Amen. Brother Field, if you can give me everything that you have, I'll appreciate it. Thank you. Everything you have. You know, this time reflection this week, I ran across a periodical that kind of sparked my attention. Abraham Maslow. He was a great man of wisdom and knowledge. And he came upon a theory back in 1943 of the hierarchies, and it was a pyramid that started at the bottom and worked its way up to the top. And the bottom of the pyramid was the lowest and the most hardest to challenge. It dealt with our physiological needs, our food, our water, our shelter. Then the next level went up to safety. And then the next level went up to love and our belongings. The next level jumped up to self-esteem. And the highest level, no one hardly ever reached. So they kept going at the levels at the bottom. Our level of poverty, our mindsets. And when you come to church, you realize that we live in a generation of unchurched Christians. We used to call them sinners back in the day. Now we have a fancy name and we call them the unchurched. But when we look at it, the Lord is telling us, come ye all that are wearied and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
All right.
Well, what type of assurance I have when my bills are due? Mm-hmm. I don't have enough money. I have more than money. And I don't even know anything about God. But when I come to church and somebody's telling me, oh, come ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I don't really understand how that works out with me, preacher, because I just started church a long time ago. I didn't start back in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I just came here yesterday. I don't know anything about God, but you're telling me, come ye, who are the heavy laden. Now I'll give you rest. You don't know the life I go through. My kids are hungry at night. And my lights may get turned off, and I'm burning candles, and then you telling me something about, come ye all that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, take my yoke upon you, it's easy, and my burdens are light. I don't even know what burdens are, but I know when it calls for me not to have any money in my pocket. I don't know what food is right now, because my EBT card hasn't checked in yet. Come ye all that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'm weary, I'm wounded, I'm sad, I'm weighed down with the burdens of life. I don't understand how I'm going to make this transition to understand what you're saying. Let me break it down like this. You can't give a new child who's fresh into the world a steak when it needs milk.
Yeah.
That's some of the misconceptions we make. We think everybody is on the same spiritual level that we are. We think everybody is at the astute level of Christianity to know all the acronyms and all the synonyms of religion that we can convince everybody that all of our stuff is together. How am I going to relate that over? How am I going to understand when storms come? How am I going to handle it when I just got here? See, we have to, in the church, we have to start realizing that the world, as they say, is not changing, but the people are. Notice, he says, I'm the same God. Yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yeah.
I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. But we're not the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The people are constantly changing. So when the people change, the world gets more corrupt and gets more violent. My argument today is Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. What do we do as a body of Christ to help compel the sinner to come back to church? What are we living? How are we living? How are we manifesting our lives to make them realize that the God that we serve would take care of them despite the storm that they're going through? Come ye all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And one of the things we want to run through some Bible characters today who had some challenging trials in their ministry to make them lean more on God for some type of a spiritual outcome.
That's right.
You know, it's hard when you try to motivate somebody when you need motivation yourself. Thank you, Sister Jack. It's hard when you're trying to get somebody to understand what God wants you to do when you jacked up your own self. Can I be real for a second? It's hard preaching sometimes when you don't know you need to be preached to yourself. Because you look like, I've been praying, I've been asking God, I've been seeking God, and this burden is still getting heavier. What do I do? And I'm speaking from my own self. Every time I wake up, I look in the mirror and I say, I got to check myself before I wreck myself. I need some type of understanding. What do I do when my world is upside down? But you look at the book of Judges, 7th chapter, Gideon was faced with something similar. Leading an army, and God had a task for Gideon at hand. He said, Gideon, you can take over the Midianites, but you have too many people. Gideon, you have too many folks.
Yeah.
And if you do it, Sister Jennifer, if you do it, it's going to make me look bad.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the credit.
Yeah.
So you got 33,000 men. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Tell them how bad war is going to get. Yeah. Let them know. Some of y'all going to die.
Yeah.
Some of y'all going to get shot.
Yeah.
Stabbed. All cut off.
Yeah.
22,000 left. Just like that.
Yeah.
When things start to get thick, they got thin.
That's right.
He said, Lord, okay. The number has dropped down now. What I got? He said, well, you still got too many folks. You still got too many people. See, what do you mean? I have all these people leaving. He said, no, you need to go down and take the rest of them down to the water. And the ones who take their time, kneel on the knee, and cut the water with their hands. And then let me see who lapped the water up like dogs. The ones who lapped the water up like dogs are 300. He said, keep the 3. Let the rest go home. He said, no, no, Lord. This is not making any sense. He said, you don't understand the principles of war. The ones who lapped the water up were the ones who knew what they were about to get into. They knew they didn't have time. They had to get what they had to get and move on because war was about to happen. Sometimes when you got something for God, you can't be all cute and sedentary and try to drink from the cup of oil. You got to lap some things up in the word of God. You have to learn. You have to lap it up. So when God has something for you, you don't have to wait. God wants you to fight immediately. But the ultimate thing is God wants us to have, watch this, He wants us to have a relationship.
That's right.
He wants us to have a relationship. He wants us to move from religion to relations.
That's right.
Yeah.
From tradition. I'm going to get shot now. To a relationship with Him.
That's right.
See, there's nothing wrong with tradition. I come out of Methodist church, so I know all about tradition. But you know what tradition is? Tradition is frozen success. The best part of your life, you're stuck in that mode. I'm speaking from experience because I got a brother whose best part of his life, Deacon Oak, is from 65 to 75. That's the best part of his life. So that's all he does is stuck in that era. He still dresses that way. He still talks that way. Can you dig it right on? Power to the people. That's his mindset. Because that was the best days of his life. And a lot of times in churches across the nations, we don't know when God is shifting in the spirit. We think there's no such thing as a shift or a move. You think there's not a shift? Drive around. Travis High School wasn't there 10 years ago. Shift. Juan Sabine wasn't there 10 years ago. Shift. David Crocker wasn't there 10 years ago. Shift. Aliana wasn't there 10 years ago. Shift. You see what I'm saying? Your outside environment doesn't look the same because there's a shifting in the spiritual atmosphere.
Yeah.
We get so hung up on traditions. Oh, well, mama didn't do it this way. Daddy didn't do it this way. I was just sharing with you this morning. My mama was a specialist in whipology. My mother would whip me for everything. My mother would always tell me, boy, hush up before I give you something to cry for. And I'd follow the next room and I wanted my way. She'd say, Terrence, hush up before I give you something to cry for. And then after a while, she would give me something to cry for. God is telling us the same thing. Keep on, and I'm going to give you something to cry for. I'm trying to give you the recipe, but you just need to listen to what I'm saying. Take my yoke upon you.
For
it's easy, my burden is light. But see, when you take God's yoke, you're taking something from Him in order to get something from Him. Stop. Press pray with one. In order to take his yoke, you're taking his yoke from him in order to get something from him. You have to look at a yoke, for instance. A yoke is something that burdens down 2 ox. And anything right about farming, it has spikes and barrels on the inside of that oxen. So when you go to the left or to the right, the ox will experience pain in his shoulders. So in order for it to go straight, it knew if I go either way, I'm going to experience it. Cruciating pain, so I'm going to stay straight. God wants us to stay on the straight and narrow. So he said, take my yoke upon me. It's easy. And I'm going to guide you and navigate you. All you have to do is just stay right. Stay right. Stay on the right path. God is going to direct your path. Come later with me. But God wants you to get a relationship with him. He doesn't want you to call your friends when you need something. He doesn't want you to get on the phone and call people. Because let me tell you what people will do. You'll call your best friend and tell them how you're struggling financially. They're going to ask you what's going on. And you're going to tell them, well, you know, I fell into bad times, you know. I fell a little behind. I get about $2,000, get everything caught, and we'll be all right after that. I'll pay you back in a couple months. Why you fell behind? Well, it doesn't matter how I fell behind, but I did. I'm going to need y'all to bless me to help me get caught back up again. Then here come the Negro out of it. Well, you know if you wouldn't have bought that car, you wouldn't be in the fishing end right now. And just because you qualified for that house, that means you had to get that size. You could have downsized. You can't say, man, somebody just shout back at me. Because you know that's what our people do. But see, when you go to God and wait on him and put your trust in him, and lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all else will be added unto you. That's all God wants. He wants you to put your trust in him. That's why he told Gideon, I can't give you all these numbers, because if they do it, it's going to look like it was the power of you. God wants to put you in a position that when you get blessed, nobody gets the credit but God. I'm not trying to put my trust in man anymore, because man will deceive you, talk about you, and lie on you. But when you put your trust in God, all things are possible. You don't believe. Only thing God wants you to do is just give you some of his time. He wants you to learn of me. And then he'll make you have rest. How many of y'all need rest this morning? How many of you all really have some problems in your life? How many of you really have some situations that you know only God can see you through, or God has already seen you out of? Some of you right now are going through hell on your job, and you still need God to work it out for you, so you're going to lean on him even more.
Yeah.
Just sit back and we just look and, oh, it's all right. Things are going to be good. And then you go home and you don't sleep at night. You stay up all night, all this stuff off infomercials, because you can't sleep. Running your credit card bill up, because you can't sleep. You can save $5.99 if you, no. When you up at night, why don't you spend a little time with God?
That's right.
The more you spend time in your prayer life, the more God will bless you.
That's right.
It's easy, friendship. It's easy. But how do you fall when you try to pray? Let's be honest with you. You fall asleep when you pray. Am I the only one? I'm not bored at night, but how many of you know when you say I'm going to pray, and you put that time out, you get on your knees, you start yawning before you can say, Father, here am I. And then you cut your prayer off, and some of y'all probably fall asleep during the prayer and wake up on an amen.
Is this thing on?
I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to be all deep and I'm not going to go this morning. I'm just trying to be real, because I know we are real people. And we can live in a real world, but people are hurting.
That's right.
And we keep saying the church is fine, it's ours. But what is the church doing now in that 5 hours? See, preachers across the nation are too busy tending to the aquariums. Ain't not worried about the fish. Somebody was going to come. So we love the bird. The atmosphere, the way it looks. But what about the fish? You start making fishes again. But you got to launch out of the deep. I don't like hanging around in the shallow ground of the deep. You know, you can go fish out there on the bayou and get one or two fish. It's just going to pass in front of you. But now, if you get some big fish, you got to launch out into the deep.
Yeah.
You got to go out and travel a little bit. Dickie Morgan, don't you fish? They're like, okay, well, I thought you fish. You look like a fish, but you have to go out. You look like you got to go somewhere. What about you, Deacon Dogan? Nobody
else is fish.
Deacon Dogan, is you fish?
That's it.
We got to pray for our deacon boy. Deacon boy, you fish. And y'all deacons and y'all supposed to be fishes of men and nobody fish. We're going. You fish, deacon. We got one new deacon that fish. Hallelujah. Jesus. Brother Spurlock, I know you don't fish. I'm not even asking. You fish, Brother Spurlock? See that joke. Throw the wrong kind. But he'll make you fishes of men, but we need to take his yoke. See, when you take God's yoke upon you, your burdens get light. Those who still lay down my burdens down by the riverside, study on them more. We have to get back to making church and religion, not religion, but a relationship, our priority. Because that's what's going to fill pews and save souls. Because they got too many people walking up and down, bitch that, bitch that, doing that, they're doing all type of things that could be in somebody's church. But we don't want those kind of people in our church because they don't look good. We want speckled trout and redfish. We don't want any catfish. Deacon, you know catfish, that's a rough fish. You can't clean a catfish with scales. There's no scales. So you have to skin it.
That's right.
The best part is under that skin. But nobody wants to get near a catfish because they feel they're going to get stuck by the prongs. And it's only three on the dorsal fins and one in the back. But you got to impale that head, cut around the neck, and begin to pull and work. And pull and work. And then you might get it. Let me see. You got to cut and fillet and pull and work. That's too much like work. But that's just like catching souls for God. You're not going to have fish that look good all day, every day. See, some of us, we put on that mask when we come to church and look good, smell good. And soon as we get to come, Lord Jesus. Woo! I don't know how I'm going to make it when I get out of here. Have you ever been to church and came home madder than you were when you got there? See, that shouldn't be. This is a hospital for sin-sick souls. And Sister Kennedy talked about that workshop, how the love, the agape love was there at the workshop yesterday.
Yeah.
And how they all fellowship together, one with another. And that needs to spill over into our local congregation. And that'll spew out in Four Corners, out in West Belford, out on Highway 6, out on 1464. And then national ministry really begins. But see, somebody else has to wrestle with this thing. And I'm about to leave you. Jesus had to wrestle with this thing. God in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, I know your yoke is easy and your burdens are light, but you about to put something in front of me that I don't want to deal with. You about to take me down a course that I really don't want to deal with. And some of you, God is going to navigate your life down a course that you don't want to deal with. Sure, they're not acting right. No discipline, and you give them everything you want. And they got the nerve to talk back to you. Tell them to clean their room and they suck their teeth and roll your eyes. You tell them bring home A's and B's and they, hey, I got all B's. What more you want? I got an A. What more you want? What? All you got to do is put the garbage out and get the bricks. But we struggle. We wrestle with flesh and blood. Because when you're going through things, if the head of the household is not right, men, when you're supposed to be a king, but you're acting like a kid, and your wife now raising three children, you, your daughter, and your other child. When you're supposed to stand firm and lead your family. See, we all can't put our life after our pastor. That's his walk. That's his 60 years. I can't coattail on your 60 years. I can't piggyback with I got 10. That's way more than 10. 60. That's 6 decades to be exact, just in case. 6 decades. I only got one under my belt. And Lord knows it's been struggle up here with that woman. Just keeping it real. Not a financial problem, but a growing up problem. Because see, sometimes women, most of the time, the women outgrow the men physically and mentally. We still being kids, we need to be kings. And I'm running around trying to build a ministry, preaching here and there. And she's trying to take care of the family. And I'm seeing her every other day. See her on a Saturday, don't see her again until Sunday. Don't see her again until Monday. That's stressful in marriage. Stressful. But I had to learn how to navigate those waters and learn from my mistakes. And God had to put that pressure on me. That's why I know about that Garden of Gethsemane. When I first started pastoring at 21, all I had was a name. I didn't even have a church building. I had a name the bishop gave me. This is your church. You go find members. And I was up my breaking point because I didn't know what to do or where to go. So I went to a friend of mine and said, I'm going to use your church. Look what he did. He said, you can use my church at 1:30. I said, good. His service ended at 12. He let his service run over because I'm out there canvassing the neighborhoods, me and my little crew. And they would go to church at 12:30 early and end up joining his church. And I'm like, well, what you doing in there? Oh, man, service was off the chain. I didn't know to have a service at 3 o'clock to make sure he was gone. But the next day I had a word of wisdom. Somebody yell back, wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom came by the way of Robert Blake's senior. He's the presiding bishop now of the Church of God in Christ. He told me, he said, you have to change some things. He said, I don't care how good you can tune up. People ain't coming to hear you preach. Because you in the projects. They need to hear some music first. They need to hear something here to get them hooked. They got a second line down the street. They going to pick church for the second line. They going to the second line. And they going to skip out on church. So I had to navigate some things. I had to move some things around. I moved my service times around. And see, ain't nothing wrong with moving stuff around in church. We got that for a bad habit. Just because it's in the bulletin, it's stuck there. No, no, no. You can move some things around for the edification of God. And you're not compromising the gospel. You're doing what you got to do to fish. Because everything, Deacon, you can't use chicken to catch all fish. It only works on scavengers. You got to bait your hook differently to get people in. But when God was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, God, just pray with me for a little while. I got a mighty task ahead of me. In friendship, you're going to have some people to pray for you because you all have monumental tasks ahead of you. Because God said, I want you to tell everybody that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, but they're not going to want to listen to you. They're going to say, I don't believe in church. I believe in the stars, the moon, the stars, and the cosmos. I believe in the color orange, and the color pink, and the color purple. But you got to tell them that God lived and he died. He lived and he died. He lived and he died. And when you start saying, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got to start saying, speak to your mountain and may it be moved. God is in the garden. He said, I got this enormous pressure holding me down. Lord, if anything, let this cup pass from me. But then he thought about it. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. And that's what some of you all got to start saying. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. And when you let your will die, God's will lives. You can't get nothing your parents have until they die. And their will is written. And they read the will. God does not activate his will until your will dies. Some of us try to control our destinies ourselves. But no, it's he who has made us. And not we ourselves. Is anybody getting anything from this word today? Is anybody getting anything from this word today? I'm just trying to help the body of Christ move from religion to relationship. Because see, when you're in a relationship, you know, I love to hear a pastor talk about his wife and how he would spoil her with ice cream. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. When you're in love with your spouse, or your wife, or your husband, there's nothing in the world you won't give for them. I mean, you just give the world. You go on a date, and you just, whatever you want, baby. It's on me, whatever you want. Look, sister, swirl out laughing. I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at my wife. But swirl out. Do something with it. Looking at Nicole. Whatever Nicole wants, I try my best to give it to her. Sometimes it's like, nah, we're going to wait on that. But other times, yes, whatever you want. Because I love her to the fact I don't want to tell her no. Amen. See, when you love God, to the fact you love him so much, you never tell him no. Yeah. When the pastor asks for a special offering, you won't say no. You'll say how much you need, Brad. When it comes down to tithing and offering, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Will a man rob God? Not us. Here's my check. That's what the Lord loves about when you have a relationship with him. And then it goes from pew to pew, from member to member. That when you see this church is too small, you can't duck nobody up in here. Church I had last church, I was at, there were so many people. If I didn't like you, I could just duck around you. There she go. But now, I got to speak to everybody. So I need to have a love for everybody, because I don't like walking past people. I want to shake everybody's hand. Even if you don't want to shake my hand, I'm going to still shake your hand. You know, I'm going to keep on loving you while you keep on pouting. Right. Amen? God is so good and so worthy to be praised. But when he died, guess what? He opened up the kings for us to have the gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
That's what I love about him so much. You see, you all miss the shouting part. When he died for us, he washed away my sins. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, but the master, Adam's redeemer, but the master, Abraham's vindicator, but the master, Noah's ark, but the master's David music, but the master, Moses bush on fire, but the master of the sea heard my faintest cry, from the waters lifted me, not safe am I.